Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher here with you. And just to take you behind the scenes, it is about 9:15 on Tuesday, April 16th. I had to look at the right corner of my screen just to remind me of what day it is, because this has been a crazy time covering Illinois athletics, and this was a crazy day. To be honest with you, had Illinois football media availability this morning, caught up with guys like Kenari Wilcher and Justin Stepp. I got a story coming out on them very soon. Also had Johnny Newton's pro day. Julian Pearl was there. Keith Randolph, Denzel Daxon, Tariq Barnes, Bryce Barnes, a bunch of guys working out for NFL teams. And then, as you will hear later in this podcast, had about a 30-minute interview with Illinois Athletic Director Josh Whitman one-on-one in his office. And appreciate him inviting me into his office, sitting down, chatting a lot about basketball, some about Terrence Shannon and that whole ordeal this past year, some about football that he wanted to bring up, as well as the future of college athletics and the shape of it. So that was enough. But then we go to Gordyville, USA, where the Great Coaches versus Cancer event is happening, the fundraiser that Brad Underwood and Illinois Athletics takes part in every year. Brad has taken it to another level with the people he has brought in the last couple of years. You know, Bill Self and Lon Kruger 2 years ago. Last year, the country music band, boy band, potentially, that showed up with Brad Underwood, Fran McCaffrey, Tom Izzo, Fred Hoiberg, and Matt Painter was the other one. That was a really good crew. But this year, I thought Brad did a nice pivot. We got Greg Campy, who's always entertaining, the Oakland coach, and coming off a fantastic run in the NCAA tournament for Oakland Grizzlies. Guy who's been there 40 years to have that kind of year upset Kentucky. Then Bo Borowski, who I had a great time talking to, listening to, as us media met up with the former Big Ten referee. He's really great talking about refereeing, Champaign, Illinois, Brad Underwood, dealing with coaches, all of that. And then Bill Raftery, the legend. Onions, send it in, Jerome. That was cool, really being able to meet him. Shook hands with all of us media. Just a really nice guy. So that was all great. But we had about 15 minutes with Brad Underwood. And after we were done, I said, Brad, we went over a lot. We went over a lot that we just covered there. So I want to cover a little bit of that here because the last 24 hours have been pretty crazy. 24 to 48 hours for Illinois basketball, getting a commitment from Kylan Boswell, Sincere Harris to the transfer portal, Amani Hansberry on Tuesday to the transfer portal, Kerry Booth, Notre Dame commit out of the transfer portal. Illinois adds another one. And then Brad finally did give the news that everyone knew was happening, but finally somebody says it on the record that Chester Frazier is leaving the program and heading towards West Virginia. So I want to cover a little bit of that here. You can hear from Brad about these things. I will have Mike Latulip on the podcast on Wednesday afternoon. So at some point Wednesday afternoon, Thursday morning, that pod will be up. So we'll get some more of the breakdown of the analysis of all that. But first, let's cover the Chester Frazier news. He is leaving Illinois after 3 years, which includes three NCAA tournament appearances, a Big Ten regular season championship in his first year as an assistant and a Big Ten tournament title in his last year as an assistant for Illinois. Here's Brad Underwood discussing that.
Chester's no longer with us. He's going to West Virginia. We thank Chester for his just undying loyalty, his dedication. Nobody bled orange and blue more than him. He's a guy that has lived it. I'm excited for him. He came here and wanted to win championships because he didn't as a player, and he came away with two. So I'm excited. His path as associate head coach is the next step, and excited. It puts him back in a vicinity where his name recognition will really, I think, pay off for him and his desire to become a head coach. But he was fantastic, and wish him nothing but the best.
Imagine this is a pretty desirable position. What are you looking for?
I haven't thought about it, to be very honest. I shouldn't say I haven't thought about it. It's crossed my mind, but this is a great spot, and success has been pretty high the last 5 years, and we've got to find the right fit. We've got to find the guy that understands what we're doing and who we are, and we'll find that.
So that means Brad Underwood has a vacancy on his Illinois staff for the first time in 3 years. Of course, it's just one vacancy, not three like he had when Stephen Gentry, Chink Coleman, Orlando Antigua all left the staff after the 2021 season when Illinois won the number one seed in the NCAA tournament and the Big Ten tournament title. So he's got one spot to fill, and I'll tell you, this is going to be a really, really appealing spot. I think this is going to be one of the most sought-after jobs in the country because of Illinois' success under Brad Underwood, the stability of Brad Underwood's program right now, and the finances. Illinois pays as well as anybody, and I think for the right person, they will pay as well as anybody for an assistant spot. So I have my hot board up now. We've talked about this a little bit with Derek Piper on Monday's podcast, but you can check out that hot board right now at IlliniInquirer.com. Brad Underwood also addressed all four transfer additions that Illinois has made. Mercer transfer forward Jake Davis, Arizona transfer guard Kylan Boswell, Notre Dame forward now Kerry Booth, who announced his commitment on Tuesday, as well as Trey White, Louisville transfer forward. So Brad Underwood talked about him. So they are signed, sealed, and delivered. They have signed the Big Ten tender of financial aid, which means he could talk about them. So here's Brad Underwood chatting about his four transfer additions and what they bring to the program.
We've gotten a few in. Jake Davis, obviously, from Mercer was the first. A young man that we're really, really excited about. Elite shooter, high IQ, just a great fit. Kylan Boswell. Kylan is a guy that we re-recruited. Obviously, everybody knows him, a five-star kid that went to Arizona, was a part of Tommy's success there, coming back home. Great player. Trey is a young man that we followed very closely throughout his process. Obviously, started at Southern Cal, made a transfer to Louisville, had a great freshman season there, but fits what we're doing. Kind of a multi-dimensional 6'7", do-it-all guy, high IQ. And then the latest one, which I think is out, probably getting me in trouble, Kerry Booth. Kerry was a transfer from Notre Dame, 6'11". Very, very excited about him as a guy that can play multiple positions, really, 3-4-5 on the perimeter. He's got great, great size and length and athleticism. He can really shoot it, can really run. So we feel good about this group, and we'll continue to keep diving into the portal.
Yeah, and of course, Illinois is not done. They still have three scholarships currently available, and let's say it, of course, there always could be more attrition. There could always be movement in this day and age with Illinois recruiting some top talent. What do the returners want to do and moving forward into the summer? We will see. But here's Brad Underwood on what else they have in mind with the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, we'll continue to try to sign shooting. We'll continue to try to find a big or two. You know, we'll continue to, you know, keep evaluating. You know, this thing goes in segments, you know, with all your grad transfers, with all your MBA guys. But in the meantime, we'll just, you know, keep dealing with what's there and try to fill our needs and again, fit the pieces of the puzzle together.
Some other orders of business. He talked about Imani Hansberry and Sincere Harris leaving. Of course, their lead recruiter, Chester Frazier, is on the way out, and Illinois is over-recruiting both those guys. I think Imani would have been welcomed back with open arms, but would he have been guaranteed a role now that they're adding Kerry Booth? And as he said, they're looking for two bigs, maybe one more, because Imani Hansberry is leaving. But Sincere Harris, Illinois is over-recruiting him, and I'll say, like, when he redshirted, it seemed pretty clear to me that him coming back seemed unlikely, whether that was because of what he thought or because of what Illinois thought. They were kind of surprised, Brad Underwood said at the time, when he decided to redshirt. So I just felt like then it just didn't seem likely that he would be back. But, yeah, it's a whirlwind, man. I mean, you look at this roster right now, and it's almost completely new. We're down to just a few guys who could potentially be returners. Luke Goody, Ty Rogers, Nicolo Moretti, Dre Gibbs-Alhorn. Four potential returners for next year. Two freshmen, Merez Johnson and Jason Jaxtus. You've already had Jace Butler decommit, get out of his national letter of intent. And you've added four transfers to this with Trey White, Kylan Boswell, Jake Davis, and Kerry Booth. And more on the way with three scholarships available right now. Brad Underwood also, as Derek Piper asked him about it, said that yes, Marcus Damask and his legal team are applying for a sixth year and a chance at a waiver to get another year of eligibility. That all stems from an injury he suffered during the COVID year, which he got that year of eligibility for free, but he suffered a foot injury, came back and played through it, and then eventually they shut him down. And so he's going to argue his case, which I believe has something to do with we got bad information from a medical team and we continue playing when we shouldn't have and we should have been able to redshirt that year. I still don't think it's the greatest odds that Illinois is able to, or Damask is able to get that extra year. Of course, I think they would love if Illinois was able to get that, right? I mean, that'd be a huge thing to get one of the best players in the Big Ten back, potentially preseason Big Ten player of the year type. I just don't think Illinois is counting on that, the way they're recruiting, and just my experience with these waivers, right? Like, because we've seen Illinois football do this. You know, think back to Luke Ford when he did his, Alex Palcheski, some of these other guys who have gone for waivers. You apply for it, and there's not a lot of communication. The NCAA will ask for things, some clarification, documentation, all these things, but they don't really tell you, yeah, we're leaning this way. And there's no like set date that they have to get back to you. So the timing of this will be really, really interesting, but I wouldn't have the greatest optimism, but you shoot your shot and see what can happen, especially with a player like Marcus Damask. But Illinois certainly seems to be recruiting wings. AJ Storr, we'll see if they continue to go, if they go full bore there, but they're going to have some options, and there will be more players entering the portal. Like, you see more and more talented players entering the portal on Tuesday. I haven't even caught up with all of it, to be honest with you, as I'm recording this. Like, seeing Jeremy Roach from Duke, that's another name that would intrigue me. Guys who are in the NBA draft right now that might come back. There's a lot of talent, and Illinois has got a lot to sell right now. All right, but let's get to it. Josh Whitman, Illinois athletic director, was able to sit down with him for about a half hour in his office and talk about the Illinois basketball program, talk about the Illinois men and women's basketball program, talk about the Terrence Shannon situation, talk about the future of college athletics, NIL, the future of that. What does it look like? Is this sustainable? What does the next model of this look like? And Josh Whitman was, as always, informative, interesting, and I think he gives you guys, the fans, a lot of insight here. So here's my conversation with Josh Whitman coming up next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, we're here in Josh Whitman's office. Illinois Athletic Director, kind enough to join us here on the Illini Inquirer podcast. Josh, appreciate it after what has been a busy spring here for you guys already.
It has been a busy but exciting spring, and glad to have a chance to sit down and chat a bit. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. I want to start with basketball. How can we not, with the men's basketball run that we had? Illinois gets to an Elite Eight for the first time in 19 years. Third Big Ten title banner that this program has won. What were those 3 weekends in March like, traveling with the team? I was there traveling with the team, but you as the leader of this athletic department, what was that like for you?
It was, as you would imagine, so much fun for me, for my family, for all of our fans, just to have a chance to take the Illini show on the road and get out and experience the postseason in such a meaningful way. Great memories from Minneapolis, obviously, and then to Omaha, and then culminating with Boston. It was something that we've worked for a long time, and just really happy to have had a chance to play some role in it and to be a part of it. It was something that certainly we'll not soon forget.
Obviously, you remember the games, those things. Were there any moments that you'll cherish forever from those?
I think a lot of it was just the enthusiasm from our fans. I think just being able to get out and visit some of the establishments and be around and go to, like in Boston, the fan events that we had just across the street from the Garden, and to see the enthusiasm and the excitement that they were enjoying in those moments, knowing that we had a gap there, a generation of fans who didn't have this level of success to cheer for. Now, over these last 4 or 5 years, we really, I think, connected with a new population of Illini fans, parents who are raising their kids, as you and I can appreciate, and hopefully, you know, capturing their imaginations, their hearts, and putting us in a position to continue to keep them a part of our program for years to come.
I want to ask you about that, because when you made a coaching change, 7 years ago, you talked about how it had been 10 years since the program had been at that level, and if you're not careful, it'll be 30 years from there. So 7 years later, when you have 3 Big Ten title banners, you have an Elite Eight run like that, and you knew you were knocking at the door all that time. I know there's more you guys want to accomplish as a program, but you have to get the guy right, first of all. So what has made Brad Underwood the right guy to lead this program?
Brad has been everything we thought he would be, but so much more. I think so often in those circumstances, it's about finding the intersection between the guy, the timing, the opportunity. It's really trying to bring all those different factors to a head at the same moment, and Brad has just been so resolute and determined in his approach. He has a very strong sense of programmatic identity. He knows what he wants our Fighting Illini men's basketball team to look and play like on a night-to-night, week-to-week basis. He is very committed to a certain approach in terms of our toughness, our resiliency, our preparation, our physicality. And I think that's really, really critical in today's day and age, especially with the in and out and the turnover that happens in staffing and players. And I think you have to have some building blocks that are going to be consistent from year to year. And I think the identity that he's brought to this program has really been central to our success, and I give him all the credit in the world for the way that he has instilled that and been able to carry it forward now through multiple generations of players and a lot of new faces throughout the program.
Obviously, it takes support, though, to do that. So what do you feel like you've given him or the athletic department has given him to make it successful? Because obviously you have to keep that coach. And I know, you know, his name gets brought up a lot of times. You have to give him a staff. So what does it take to keep that guy to, you know, build the program up around him?
I think the key is just us having a really strong relationship that's built on trust. It's built on communication. We have shared values and we have shared goals, and having the opportunity to work with him on a daily basis and understand where the gaps are, where are the places that we need to continue to improve. My job as the athletic director is to clear the path, is to make sure that the path in front of him has as few obstacles as possible so that he can be all gas, no brakes. And sometimes I'll identify what some of those potential roadblocks might be, and other times he does, but we have to work together to find where they exist, and then, and depending on what they are, maybe those are things that I'm responsible for trying to move out of the way, and other situations they may be things that he's responsible for. But we collaborate, we talk constantly, and just try and put him in a position to chase those championships. We, as programs, our job is to hire hyper-competitive people who have the same goals and vision that we do, and then to support them with the resources and the infrastructure such that they can realize those goals. And I think that's been really critical to his tenure thus far, and I really look forward to continue to work together in the way that we have in the years ahead.
Obviously, Ubben is a part of that for both him and Shauna, and staffing, support staff. I know for Brett Bielema that's important. Shauna, that's important. And Brad, that's important. And 3 years ago, you lose all the assistants, and he builds up a staff. No, Chester is on his way out here. What do you make of Chester's time with Illinois, being a part of that success, and where you guys go in the future with Brad's staff?
I think it just solidifies Chester's legacy with our program. For him to have worn the uniform and to be able to do the things that he did as a player, but then to return now in a professional capacity, different role than mine, obviously, but similar in the sense that you have different perspectives than other people just because you've had the good fortune to compete for this university and to be able to hang a couple banners during his tenure, to be able to really build this program. He certainly has his fingerprints on that, and I know it's something that he's very proud of, and we look forward to him staying connected to this program for years to come, both as a former staff member, but more importantly as a former player, and so hopefully that's something that is a tie that will bind him to us for the rest of his life.
And how do you guys keep raising the bar of what this has become? Because you guys are knocking on that door of where you want to be in the top tier of college basketball.
I think that's really incumbent on us now, especially as we head into an off season. There's the old book now that, you know, good is the enemy of great, and we have to make sure that we avoid complacency at all costs. And so it's important for Brad to continue to push his players, push his staff. It's important for me to continue to push our staff and make sure that we're supporting the program in the way that we need to. And I feel confident that between him and me, that will continue to happen. We're both incredibly competitive, highly hungry. I think if anything, these last few years has just sort of whet our appetite and let us know, okay, this is what we want. This is where we want to be. These are the conversations we want to be a part of. These are the games we want to play in. Now, let's keep doing it. Let's find ways to continue to elevate this basketball program and take full advantage of the momentum that we've been able to build here these last few years.
Speaking of momentum, it felt like Shauna's program regained that momentum with a WBIT title run, which I know after an NCAA tournament, you know, people wanted to get back there, right? But, I mean, for this program, Josh, we know this has been a great 2 years for them. So what do you think that meant? What has this 2 years meant for that program to get them back to just competitiveness and, you know, success here?
It's been so rewarding just to watch the progress that they've made, and we don't have as much history in that program as we do certainly on the men's side and in some of our other sports, and that was part of the conversation with Shauna when I first met with her and when we first entered into our recruitment of her. this idea that there are pages in our record book that are waiting to be written. There is a legacy here waiting to be built, and that doesn't appeal to everybody. Some people want to go and do the same things that other people have already done, but I saw something in her that suggested to me that that was something that might matter to her, that we've got a program with 50 years of history, and there have been some moments, but there hasn't been sort of that long-standing run from a coach and a team, and I thought that that was something that, that would excite her, and I think I was right, and I think that we now carry that message forward in the recruiting space with the student athletes. There's a chance here to do some things that have never been done before, and you know, there was a great interaction. Camille Hobby's mom came up to me on the court after the WBIT, and she grabbed me. She said, "You may not remember this, but when we were being recruited to come to Illinois, we sat on the couch in your office, and you told us that if we came here and did something special that had never been done before, this is a place where we could leave a legacy and make a mark." And she said, "That just happened." And it was just a really profound sort of full circle moment for me, knowing the kinds of things that we talk to the recruits about, and then seeing that develop in the way that it has. Super excited about what Sean has been able to do and where that program's headed.
You were right, but did you know it was going to happen this quickly? Like, come on.
No, I don't think anybody did. And right. I think even if you put Shauna in a dark room and put her on a lie detector test, I don't know that she thought it would happen this quickly. I remember distinctly the very first practice that they had under her. I was there, and practice was over, and we all kind of looked at each other like, we got a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some road to go here. And again, give her all the credit, the incredible staff that she's been able to assemble, the culture that she's been able to instill, the level of belief that those players have in each other and in their coaches. It's all just come together at the right moment, and we're seeing the results. And what an exciting run we were on, obviously, and Shauna wasn't shy about this. We want to be in the NCAA tournament. We intend to be in the NCAA tournament, but shoot, if we're not going to be, why not go win the very first WBIT? And what a great experience it was for our players and in our program. And we look forward to using it as a springboard into next year.
Obviously, you can't tell the story of this winter without the unprecedented case of Terrence Shannon Jr. and everything that happened there. I know him and his legal team have dropped their case against the university, Josh, and I know there's probably only so much you can say about it, but at the same time, is there anything now looking back that university, yourself, whatever it is, you look back and say this could have been different or you could have changed? I know the policy that you had, the student misconduct policy, is there anything that has to change because of all of this? I mean, this had to be unprecedented as an athletic director to go through.
It was. It was a difficult experience for everybody involved, and certainly, as we've said from the very beginning, an experience that's unfortunate on so many levels, and most importantly for the people who are at the center of it, the athletic program, the athletic director. We're just sort of side players in the entire situation, but it was difficult. It was unlike anything I've ever experienced, and now almost 15 years in a role like this one, I think that, you know, we are always learning, we're always growing. We will certainly take some time this spring, as we do every spring, to evaluate the year, to consider opportunities to revise or adjust policy. And I think we'll have more to share on that probably during the event that we do in, mm-hmm. in June. But I think that at the end of the day, I'm confident with how we handled the situation. And I'm, you know, looking forward to, again, learning from things and moving forward.
Is it going to be like, is he a different case though because of his NIL capabilities, because of his MBA potential? Is he a rarity of what could be tested legally? I'm not a lawyer, so you are.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the too much detail in terms of the judge's opinion, but it there were some novel concepts that she introduced that I had not seen discussed in a legal setting mm-hmm. prior. And I think it certainly did prompt some questions about how we go forward in terms of handling student athlete discipline, misconduct. are things like their stature, their earning potential, their future professional prospects, are those things that we need to consider as we go forward. All really good questions that we need to spend some time evaluating during the months ahead.
I know you like to address these at your annual roundtable, but you can't ignore like what is happening in college athletics with all the change that is happening. And we just mentioned NIL there, Josh. First, from internally, I know you've been very progressive about welcoming NIL and seeing it as an opportunity for your program several years into this with what Icon is doing and aligning with you guys. How do you feel Illinois has positioned itself for NIL, however long it lasts in this type of setting?
I think we've positioned ourselves well. I really give Kathleen Knight a tremendous amount of credit. She, of course, left our organization, started a new business from scratch. She's essentially a small business operator with Icon, plays an incredibly influential role in the success and future of our program. I think that it is a very professionally run organization. I think our student athletes benefit from her professionalism, from the work that she and her board and her staff do on behalf of our student athletes and of the folks who are in a position to contribute to Icon. I think that we always need to continue to generate more resources. That, I think, as long as this current iteration of NIL is in place, will always be the order of the day. Nobody ever, I think, feels like they have enough resources in their collective. And so we're working as aggressively as we can and as creatively as we can to try and identify ways to continue to push resources that direction. But on the whole, I feel really good about where we are, but yet very much aware that we need to continue to grow.
I think anybody who's watching this is thinking that this is becoming pay for play. And I know Charlie Baker, NCAA president, is wanting federal legislation. You and I know anything passing through this Congress is going to be difficult, especially with the NCAA. You got the Dartmouth men's basketball team, you know, unionizing, all those things, Josh. Like, where do you see this going? Like, where do you think in the next year or two, does this change completely, or is it going to be status quo with NIL?
I don't know that we'll see a lot of meaningful change in the next year or two. I do think that 3 to 5 to 7 years, I think, will mark a pretty dramatic reform period in college athletics. And I think that even this week, the NCAA, the Division I Council, which I'm a part of, will consider some pretty advanced changes to the NIL guidelines that will allow institutions like ours to become more directly involved in facilitating and assisting in creating some of these NIL opportunities on behalf of our student athletes.
What's the impact of that?
The impact, I think, is that it allows schools to have a little more ownership in how those deals get done. I do think that it potentially creates more Title IX expectation, which I think is a good thing, that programs like ours will dedicate equal effort to creating these opportunities on behalf of their student athletes. It may not yield equal results, but at least put forward equal effort in trying to generate those opportunities for both our male and our female student athletes. I think that at the end of the day, though, even with these rules changes, we are contorting ourselves into knots just so we can say that we aren't the ones paying the student athletes. And we've continued to draw a very bright line, and now we're going to be able to facilitate the deals. We're going to be able to go to a donor and say, I'd like Jeremy Werner to get a $50,000 NIL deal, but yet we're going to funnel that money out through the collective and then back over to Jeremy Werner's pockets, instead of having more complete ownership and control of the entire process. I think that over time that will find its way into the reform process, and that we will identify a more efficient, thoughtful, probably well-reasoned approach that maybe addresses some of those logistical hurdles that we've basically constructed for ourselves.
Yeah. The last big one I have for you, just looking at this, since you are on Division I Council and all of that, I mean, you're part of these conversations. You're part of a Big Ten, which has situated itself extremely well. The SEC has situated itself extremely well. So when I read about the Super League and things like that, I'm like, the Big Ten and SEC is going to want to continue to hold the power that they have. So, but we see a Pac-12 just dissolve before our eyes. What does actual reform for what the future of college football looks like, the future of college athletics in alignment with each other? Are we heading towards two super leagues and everybody else? Because, Josh, I don't know if everybody wants that, if all the fans want that, but it feels like that's the direction we're going. So how do you guys navigate the path forward?
That's the trick. I think that one of the early questions that has to be answered is who's in the room? Mm-hmm. And so are we looking to develop solutions as a Big Ten conference? Are we looking to develop solutions as the Big Ten, the SEC, the Power Five, the FBS, mm-hmm. the NCAA? What is the size of the group that we're trying to engage as we look to develop solutions? And I think that's a really critical threshold question that we have to answer on some level. That said, I think that we've also learned over the last 10 years that the diversity of membership that exists in college athletics, on one hand, is a tremendous strength. You have schools from all across the country, all different compositions. It also can be a challenge in these moments when you have to make revolutionary change. And in order to enact that kind of change, I think there's going to have to be really strong leadership from the conferences and the individuals who are in a position to exert that leadership. And ultimately, it will be, I think, incumbent on the NCAA and some of those most strongly positioned conferences to demonstrate a willingness to make change that can lead the entirety of the organization forward. And that will be an ongoing effort for some time, I would imagine.
All right, but as we wrap up here, Josh, I want to give you the floor. I know there's topics you really care about that maybe we in the media don't talk enough about, the fans don't know enough about. Is there a topic that you feel we should be talking about more as media, or fans should know a little bit more about when it comes to the college athletics or even just Illinois in general?
I think on the Illinois front, I think it's important that we note we just spent however long talking and we didn't talk one bit about Illinois football, right? And the reality is that, you know, we are incredibly excited about what's happening with our football team. I think one of the byproducts of advancing as far as we did in the spring with the basketball programs is that spring football has been happening this whole time and just hasn't had the platform to sort of gather the headlines that you would ordinarily see during the spring. And really excited about the fan enthusiasm that exists right now for Illinois football. We just surpassed, I think, 3,000 new season tickets this year, which is another benchmark for us. We were within spitting distance of selling as many season tickets sitting here in mid-April as we did all of last year. And so the fans have clearly demonstrated that they're excited about what's happening. We are emphasizing that fan experience with everything that we do. We created a new office a year ago led by Cassie Arner that is dedicated entirely to making sure that our fans have just a world-class experience from the time they leave their garages until they come home at night, including outside the stadium, inside the stadium. We hope that our fans continue to feel those changes. We've got lists of dozens of things that we're looking to implement or already have implemented in some cases. And so there's just a lot, I think, to be enthusiastic about with our football program. Brett Bielema, having been around football most of my life now and having had the opportunity to be around some of the great coaches, I've never been around another one like him. And the ability that he has to implement a vision, to teach his student athletes, to marshal such a large staff and point them in the same direction, his attention to detail, there's just not anything that he doesn't do well. And that, I think, bodes incredibly well for where this program's headed. And just want to continue to encourage fans to support Fighting Illini football and look forward to seeing everybody in the fall.
Josh Whitman, Illinois Athletic Director. Really appreciate the time and insight and for sharing all that with the fans. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Good stuff with Josh Whitman. I was saving football, by the way, for Big Ten Media Days and his media roundtable. I had to save something for it. I just thought basketball was the focus. But he's right. Football is really important to him. I mean, selling those tickets is going to be really, really important. And I know it's difficult for, you know, the football program when you've come so close to having a great three-year stretch, but you're the Purdue and Maryland game away from that first year being truly special and pretty amazing. If you could have won 7 games that year instead of 5, you were 1 win away from getting to a Big Ten championship game the year after that. And last year, you're looking at, you know, close loss to Northwestern from getting back to a bowl game that would have been one of the better three-year stretches in football. So, you know, to miss out on that opportunity stings when you had that level of talent that we're talking about with, you know, the 2 drafts you've had recently, of course, last year's draft being amazing. And then this year, potentially having 5 or 6 draft picks again, and you missed an opportunity there, potentially with a lot of those close losses. I'll give Brett Bielema this. You're getting into a lot of close games. You're competitive. It was a bad first half of the year last year, much better second half, but there were still missed opportunities involved in there. So just winning more football games would be huge for this athletic department, its finances, and just the excitement about it. Just a few, not to go Tim Beckman on you, but a few plays away, a few scores away from being really different about how we feel about it. But it'll be interesting to see how fans show out in the fall. You know, Illinois had a couple surprising transfer portal entries with Anthony Johnson, the transfer from Youngstown State, and Zach Toby. I didn't see that one coming. That was the one that surprised me as much as, you know, maybe not as much, but surprised me the most, along with Anthony Johnson. And that's on a defense where you got a lot of questions. So they need a cornerback in the transfer portal. That is for sure. Don't really know because we don't get to see practice where Zach Toby figured into things. But he started games last year as a freshman and showed a lot of promise. And Anthony Johnson, don't know if he's going to start, as Brett Bielema said, but that guy was going to play. That guy was going to play snaps in a rotation that's meaningful, and you need guys who can get hundreds of snaps in a defensive line rotation for Illinois. So I got a lot of questions about the defense coming back, but offense, I'm pretty bullish on what they can do, but a lot of questions on the defense. I understand why fans have some trepidation there, but that's why you got to go win those games this year. It is a winnable schedule, but you lost a lot of talent. And do you have enough internally? Have you added enough externally to make up for that? And can you lessen the mistakes that have crushed you? Those special teams mistakes last year, right? Then not being able to score in certain situations the year before. Those little details that have lost Illinois games for a long time, but they come in even more focused. When you get in all these close games, you might lose some of those close ones. Illinois won some of them as well. But that's going to be key for them moving forward. We got plenty this week coming on the podcast. We'll get Piper on here again. We got Michael Tulip coming up on Wednesday to record this. But I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Josh Whitman and hope you got a little bit out of what Brad Underwood had to say at Coaches versus Cancer. I'm going to go to bed maybe in about an hour after I transcribe some Brad Underwood, maybe write a notebook. It has been a long day, but it's been a busy day, and it's going to bring a lot of content to Illini Inquirer. So if you are not a VIP member now, I'm telling you, now is the best chance to do it. I got to update my big board at some point tomorrow. We got our hot board up. Derek Piper with the latest. Joy Wagner had some women's basketball recruiting scoop here recently, and I had something on Illinois football that you might want to check out on the VIP board as well. 60% off a VIP membership right now at Illini Inquirer. We'll continue to have a great deal throughout the week, but 60% off is going to go just through Wednesday. That's a savings of more than $75, so there's no better time to sign up than right now because we are working hard, and we're getting some stuff for you guys, so you can check that all out at IlliniInquirer.com. All right, everybody, have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount+. Paramount+, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.